I know a bunch of the moms are heading out, but I do want to take a moment, as much as we have fun like that, simply to thank and bless the moms here, our moms around the world, wherever they may be. Mother's Day is, you know, really one of those special days. Hallmark may have invented it, but it's worth giving moms at least one day, right? But even as we pray and are delighted for the moms, I also want to give space for those folks here for whom this is a sad day. It's got a mix of emotion going on. You know, the second year in a row, it's only been a couple months since we have buried moms in my house. My mom last year, Susan's mom this year. And so as much as Mother's Day is bright and fun and we love it, there is also that other side to it. And I want to give space and recognition for that as well. So let's just pause for a moment to be still, and then I'll pray. God, thank you for the institution and blessing of motherhood. Huge responsibilities. And in most cultures around the world, it's the mother who has primary responsibility of nurturing the kids, though in many cultures it's done in concert with other moms and grandmoms and aunts and so on. What incredible responsibility to nurture that next generation. And so, Lord, I want to pray a blessing on every mom here, whether their children are 6 months or 56. Pray blessing on them for every ounce of energy and love they gave. Thank you. Lord, I pray for those who have a tinge of grief this day, whether it's this year or every Mother's Day. Maybe it was the premature death of a mom, or a mother who, for whatever reason, couldn't really fill that spot. And I just pray that those hearts that have a small or large break would be held in your gentle hands, and that your love would be a salve on any wound. Pray for moms here who have buried children, a pain I have only seen in the eyes of others. Again, pour your blessing. For women who longed to be mother, but were not able or circumstances didn't work out so that they had that dream. I pray if there's a hole that you would fill it with your grace, your love. Lord, thank you for the way you mother us and father us and care for us. And we love you and we bless you and we thank you for this Mother's Day, for moms. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. For all the women here this morning, old or young, we do have a rose for you on the way out of worship, just a token of thanks for who you are. And we chose to wait until you leave rather than come in so you don't have to, like, what do I do with it as we sit around and all those sorts of things. But it is just a little way to honor you. If you have a mom somewhere else and you would like to bring one for her, or a woman in your family that's not here today and you would like to have one for them, please feel free to do that. Happy Mother's Day. And I want to give a little bit of a Mother's Day message this morning. I don't want the guys to turn off. The kinds of comments that I may make towards a mom, you can apply if you're a dad. If you're not a parent yet, you can think about your parents, or maybe someday you will be. If that's not in the cards for you, a lot of the things I say will connect with how you can connect with other people, whether they are your biological children or not. But a word to moms. In fact, I'm going to offer you four words and two-word pictures. We're going to begin with Paul's words to his younger associate, Timothy. It's in Paul's second letter to Timothy, and the letter begins like this. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. I love that last line. There is something wonderful about the opportunity we have to pass down the lineage of faith to the next generation through the family structure. I love that word about Lois and Eunice, and we know nothing else about them other than that. Those women get it. They understand that they had an opportunity to shape the next generation by shaping their children's lives. And they get the fact that a major way we shape the lives of our children, of that next generation, is to pass along the faith of Jesus as best we can to that next generation. And friends, in regard to faith, you can only give to others or your children what you possess. You can't fake faith. You can't short-circuit it in your own life. You can't Google a YouTube and say, five things I need to teach my kid about faith, watch it, and think you can impart that to your children. To impart faith to children, we have to walk the walk of faith as best we can. And if you'll allow this image, we take hold of our children's hands and we invite them to walk with us. I am reminded of your sincere faith. He's writing this to Timothy. Your faith, Timothy, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am now persuaded lives in you. My first word is live your faith. Moms, dads, everyone here for that matter, live your faith. You can only impart to somebody else what you have. Speak a word to those of us who didn't have the blessing of being raised in a Christian home. We sometimes think, oh man, I wasn't raised that way. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to give. I got shorted on the deal. I want you to remind you about these two women. This letter is written about the year 60 AD, roughly. That means, at most, these women could have been Christ followers for 30 years, and that meant they had to be in Jerusalem when Pentecost happens. Not likely. You know. More likely, these women were exposed to the faith when Paul made his first trip through Asia Minor, which was about 46 AD. So that means, at most, they are 15 years into the faith. Timothy could easily be in his early, mid, or late 20s at this time. Timothy's father was a Greek, non-Christian Greek, so he was raised in a home where mom was probably a Greek of some kind. Paul comes to town, they get converted to faith, mom changes, becomes a Christ follower, dad doesn't. Timothy could easily have been 10 or 12 years old by then. And what Paul is recognizing is that these women simply started living the faith, and as they lived their own faith, as they walked with Jesus, they took Timothy with them. And Paul is now, he says, persuaded that that faith which lived there now lives in him. So if you're new to the faith, if this is the first day you walked in here and you never knew about Jesus and you leave today believing in Jesus and you have children at home, great! Just start living your faith in front of them. Don't worry about where you've been. Just start living that faith in front of them. And again, for me, that image of holding them by the hand and just showing them how you do it. That's what I love about that picture, because those two women got it. In a similar vein, really a very similar teaching, pops up in the Old Testament in the book of Proverbs. It's one of those Proverbs that a lot of people know in the Old King James Version. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. NIV, slightly different translation, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. I want to pull two sets of words out of that. I want to start with the word train, or as the NIV says, start off. I like the NIV translation because it really means start off. Get going. You know, start at the beginning. Just take your children with you. That's the great word of Proverbs to parents in general. This one really isn't to moms or dads, although probably more to dads, but to parents in general. Take your children with you. Just start. But I do like the King James with that word train, because the word training reminds us again that we can't take people where we haven't gone. My hobby, which I'll emphasize in just a moment, is woodworking. And once or twice a year, I like to travel up to Norwalk. There's a great woodworkers club up there. They have an incredible, you know, shop up there, and they have classes. And so I go and I work with some people. The guy who's been teaching bowl turning there, which is my current passion, I mean, he's taught that at a college level. He continues to go to seminars now, even though he's well into retirement years. That man can take me places I can't get to by myself. I can learn a lot of things, but it's amazing how just the tilt of a wrist can make all the difference in the world, and it is worth every penny just to work with him for 4 weeks, because he can impart what I don't know. And you can spread that across any profession you want. Johnny could take us places on the drums. Kate can take us places on a dance floor. you're not going to go without that person who is ahead of you. And that's the point. And it's a plea again to parents. Work on your faith. Bring your faith into your life and do that so that you can share that with your children, with your next generation. When we moved here, my son Daniel was in seventh grade. In Western middle school, kids start learning Spanish in sixth grade. And at that point in life, Daniel was pretty unsure about school, unsure about himself, and he goes into class that very first day of seventh grade, and he feels like he's miles behind in Spanish. Now, they probably knew four words and, you know, hello or something. But he was panicked. And I went to all the resources I could from my 3 years of high school Spanish, and I could coach and train Dan for about 2 months. At that point, he eclipsed my abilities. But in that 2 months, just that little bit of training, just that spending a little bit of time with him, helped him get over the nervousness so that by the time the 2 months were over, he didn't need me anyway. I mean, I was not very far ahead of him. And probably by the end of seventh grade, he was ahead of me. But I couldn't take him further than that. I could only take him as far as I could. And I was just thankful that was far enough in his case. Again, apply that to your faith. You're only going to take your kids as far as you have gone. Moms and dads, one of the best gifts you can give your kids is a faith that's alive and a faith that is growing. And let them see it, failures and successes, because that's all part of life. I have one more word for you. And this comes from the New Testament, from the very end of Luke chapter 2, which is the end of the birth narrative of Jesus' story. And Luke kind of brings that first birth story to a conclusion with this thought. He says, "So they," that's the shepherds, "hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning him, what they had been told about the child and who..." Do you ever have brain freeze when you're reading? I just did. I'm going to go back and start. I mean, just let's start that over again. "So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread word concerning what they had been told about this child. And who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." And forgive me if it's a little bit of a stretch from the text, but I want you to think about that word, treasured. Now, at this point, Jesus is, you know, newborn, absolutely newborn. And Mary is treasuring all that she's heard. She's remembering what God said to her about the birth, that her husband stuck with her through this surprise pregnancy, and that this baby, who she knows to be God's son, was born, and she treasured it. And what I'd like to say to moms and dads and people here is treasure. I mean, treasure your children. Treasure the young ones. I like the sound of young children when we're singing, or, you know, Ange takes a moment to flip a page and a young child, you know, says something or you hear that child sound. I like that sound in worship. And though it's certainly appropriate and you have to teach them not to scream and yell and things like that, children are a gift. And they are meant to be treasured as such. I mentioned one of my hobbies is woodworking, and years ago I made this shepherd's crook, and bending wood is kind of an art. And there's actually 16 pieces of wood that make up this staff. And you start with old growth walnut, which I had at that time, and you cut it and plane it as thin as you could, and actually it should have been a little bit thinner than this, but it worked. And then you learn to bend it. Now, to do that, I had to soak it and put it in a press. But this is a huge walnut log. It was 2 inches thick, probably 16 inches long. And I can carefully bend it. Now, I have to do some other things to it in order to get it to that shape. But I said carefully, because if I bend it too quickly, it breaks. The proverb text says, train up a child, or start with a child in the way he or she will go. That word way is a very interesting word. It is many uses, but one of the images of that word comes from the bending of a longbow. So the archer, when preparing for battle, they wouldn't keep their bows strung all the time. When you would prepare for battle, the word way or tread meant to stand on the end of the wood so that you could bend the bow so that you could put the string on it. God says we are to train, we are to start off our children in the way, in the bending of their direction. I can still bend this, not as much in this direction. I cannot flex it at all in the other direction. It will simply not bend that way. Folks, if you want to treasure your children, you have to learn the grain of your children's life and bend them gently along that grain. We can't make our kids into who we wanted to be or who we want them to be because we want them to be that. We have to bend them according to the grain God has given them so they can live to be what God wants them to be. Too hard, too fast, wrong direction. We know what happens. When we treasure our kids to the best of our ability, we understand, if you will, their bent and work with the grain God has put in them. Years ago, Susan and I were attending different seminars, and this duo, Gary Smalley and John Trent, were doing a lot of seminars on marriage and personality, and they were goofballs, and their seminars were funny and nutty and crazy, and it was good stuff. I don't think we had children yet, maybe little tiny ones. And John Trent shared this story. He talked about his mother's bookcase. John is an adult, his two brothers are adults, and he talks about mom's bookcase that has three shelves on it. The top shelf has all kinds of books on heavy equipment. I mean, it's got big books that explain Caterpillar tractors and graders and payloaders and all kinds of things. It's got books on mechanics and the motors of those things. And she's got a whole shelf of books on heavy equipment and operating them and driving them. She's got another shelf on teaching, education, high schoolers, mathematics, and all those kinds of things. And she has a third shelf on psychology and general psychology and basic psychology and this part of psychology and that part of psychology. And that bookshelf was a treasure for John. Do you know why? Because each shelf was the bent of one of the boys. His oldest brother was a heavy machine operator. He loved it. He loved getting in the engines. He loved tearing them apart. He loved driving those great, big, huge yellow things. His twin brother was a high school mathematics teacher. And he loved the kids. And he loved teaching that subject. And he was a PhD psychologist. And Mom, in order to enter and treasure each of her boys, entered their worlds, reading widely in their fields so that when she called them on the phone, she could talk about their world, not just her world. And I'm thankful that I saw that illustration early in life so I could plant it there. Do you know your kids? Are you seeing them emerge even as a young age? You know, our daughter Laura just got married, and one of the things they asked is Laura and Nick asked that the two moms put a photo book together, kind of, you know, one page with one kid and the other opposite each other at the same age, you know, and just do a photo book so that it could be handed out at the reception, very small wedding. And one of the things Laura said, and we all knew it, is how early her creativity showed up in those baby pictures. I mean, by the time she was in kindergarten, you could see those creative sparks in her life already blossoming. So my challenge to any parent here, to an aunt, to an uncle, to a grandparent here, what's your kids' bookshelves? Will you treasure them enough to invest in what they are interested in? So you can enter their world, not just force them into your world. I could give you mine. And I close with this. As a pastor, I get invited into people's lives. And this letter was shared with me once. I've made it generic enough so that if you would know the person, you would not know the person. But I want you to imagine being a mom receiving this letter. And you may not be able to read it. I'm going to read it to you anyway. Mom, happy 75th birthday. Thank you for supporting us without exception. I would not be the person I am without the countless books, camping trips, elaborate birthday parties, Friday fun nights, and the general room you gave me to be my creative self. For all that childhood and all the hours you spent with us, I feel more grateful than I can say. Thank you for always letting me know that I was loved no matter what, while giving me the freedom to be myself, even when that self was a moody teenager. Or thank you for accepting Joe, my husband, and welcoming him into our family. And thank you for giving our children the same kind of time and love you gave me. I'm glad you are my mother, and I will be forever grateful for you and all you have given me. And I have a challenge to moms and dads, grandparents, aunts, uncles, however it may fit in your life. Challenge number one, what kind of person do you need to be so that you might have a chance of receiving a letter like that someday? Challenge number two. your mom, dad, that person who mentored you along life is still around, think about a letter you might write to them, and then do it. Happy Mother's Day, moms. Let's pray. God, again, I ask you to bless the moms in particular today. Thank you for the great ways they love us and even those imperfect ways. None of us are a perfect mom or dad, brother or sister. Help us to be the best we can be. Bless the moms as they hold their children. Lord, may they live faith with their children. Train them in the way they should go and treasure them forever. Bless them as they do that incredible job, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.